Good afternoon, everyone. Time for another Taco Tuesday on Q92, where we get together with registered dietitian and nutritionist Amber Boyens from ImmuNutrition here in Madison and Madison Healthcare Services. How are you doing, Amber?
I'm great. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Well, we're going to talk about a topic that's near and dear to my heart today.
Is it?
It is.
I love that.
No. Actually, you probably know a lot more about it than I do.
I hope so.
You wrote a paper on it or something, I think, didn't you?
Well, I have a master's degree in it.
In it, yeah.
Yes.
So that's okay.
Yeah.
So you probably understand a little bit.
Yeah. I hope I do.
Functional nutrition.
That's right.
All right. Just what is it?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. So functional nutrition is something that we don't talk about quite as much. I think when people think of dietitians, the words that usually come to mind are things like calories and meal plans and vegetables and weight loss and things like that. And certainly, to some extent, there's an element of those things in what a dietitian does. And dietitians go off in different directions as far as what they work on. Some people work in clinical nutrition like I do. Some people work in corporate nutrition. Some people work in sports nutrition. There's a lot of different sectors. And functional nutrition can kind of cross all of those boundaries. It can go into anything. And basically what it is it's looking at nutrition from both a cellular level and simultaneously a whole systems level when it comes to our bodies. So when people, like a lot of our tacos, focus on nutrition basics, because that really is where we want to start. If we haven't mastered the foundations, if we're not getting enough protein, if we're not eating enough fiber, if we're not getting variety in what we're taking in, if we're not moving our body and hydrating, and even what I call the peripheral foundations of things like meal timing and stress and sleep quality and our relationships, all of those things are important and they're foundational, and that's really where we should start. But sometimes we have health conditions, symptoms, certain things going on, or certain things that we're at risk for, that really necessitate a more specific, individualized, therapeutic approach. And sometimes those therapeutic approaches are things that people have heard of and things that we've talked about on Taco, or that I've talked about it at various things that I've done. And it could be the Mediterranean diet. It could be the DASH diet, which is dietary approaches to stop hypertension. It's a pretty well-studied diet. It could be simply a consistent carbohydrate diet, which is what we do often for people who have diabetes or are needing blood sugar control. It could be, you know, a renal diet if we're trying to support kidneys. It could be a low oxalate diet for somebody who has kidney stones. There's so many different therapeutic diets that come into play. A whole bunch of gut ones. We talk about gut all the time, but there's low FODMAP, there's low histamine. When it comes to inflammation, there's just the basic anti-inflammatory diet. There's the low AGE diet, which we've talked about, but not recently. That's advanced glycation end products. We won't go into that too deep today.
Yeah, I'm pretty weak on that one.
Yeah. I'll let you study up before we discuss
all right.
that.
Sounds good.
So there's all these different therapeutic diets, but when we're talking functional nutrition, what that functional piece is looking at is root causes. Why are we actually experiencing these symptoms or these conditions in the first place? Sometimes we can figure it out and sometimes we can't. So things we might look at would be things like genetics. It's been probably a year or two since we've talked a whole lot about genetics and nutrigenetics and nutrigenomics. And what nutrigenetics and nutrigenomics are either nutrigenetics is how our body responds differently to certain foods based on our genetic makeup. Nutrigenomics is how the food we eat impacts which genes are turned on and off in our body. So we might have a genetic predisposition to develop diabetes, for example, or we might have a genetic predisposition toward Alzheimer's. But what a lot of our research is showing is that certain diet plans, certain foods that we eat or don't eat, might turn on and off those genes that are responsible for developing some of these conditions. So we are just barely scratching the surface on our knowledge of nutrigenetics and nutrigenomics, but there are a handful of places in there that can actually, like, we can use it at this point and implement some things, especially when we talk about, like, our neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. There's a few more genes that we've seen that go along with that. Now, it's not an exact science, right? Because again, we are just learning, but it's fascinating. And functional nutrition dives into that. How is our food impacting our genes, and how are our genes impacting how we use our food? The microbiome, that's a huge part of functional nutrition. We talk about that all the time, that gut health, what our makeup of bacteria and other organisms in our intestines looks like. And it's connected to everything. There's almost no system in our body that isn't somehow connected to our gut. And a big piece of functional nutrition is making sure that not only is our intestinal lining good and strong, but that we have a variety of bacteria and other organisms, the good kind, hopefully, living there. Hormone regulation. So this is a big piece of functional nutrition as well, because it looks at things like insulin regulation, which is responsible for our blood sugar. It also looks at hormones like leptin, which is our hunger hormone, or our fullness hormone, and ghrelin, which is our hunger hormone, and how we regulate those. It looks at our stress hormones like cortisol. So when we're eating out of stress, our body metabolizes differently than when we're eating with joy and peacefully and with those that we love. And the GLP-1s that we talk about, that's an incretin hormone. Food impacts all of those things. So that's not something new that we just discovered with these medications. That's a hormone that we've been looking at for years as far as how it impacts things in our body. And then our mitochondria. Are you familiar with the mitochondria?
I've studied it a little.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I was just reading up on it last night a little bit, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Mitochondrial models,
yes,
at home that you, yeah, look, yeah, at in the evening, study, right, a little bit. So our mitochondria are really the powerhouse of our cells. It's where most of our energy is created. But we have learned more and more about how mitochondrial damage or mitochondrial dysfunction can impact our health. A lot of our chronic health conditions are now being linked potentially to mitochondrial damage. And one of the ways we protect and feed our mitochondria is through our food choices. So when we're looking at all of those different things, we're not just looking at what meal is prescribed, what foods we're eating, what we're putting into our body. We're also looking at cooking methods. So when I talk about some of those diets, sometimes for certain conditions, we want to have longer, slower cooking methods, like a crock pot, for example. Sometimes we want shorter, quicker ones, like a grill or pan frying or something like that. We also look at what we are cooking with. So we've talked about microplastics before. We've talked about plastic exposure in food. We get a lot of it. Our body's pretty good at processing it out, but when we get it all the time, it can be something that hinders us. And when we look at that nutrigenetics and nutrigenomics, one person might be far more heavily impacted by that exposure, and another person might seemingly have no impacts from that exposure. So again, this comes down to looking individually and personally at different people to see what we can do. And this is a lifespan impact. So it starts in utero when we're just tiny little fetuses that haven't even been born yet. And it goes all the way through the end of life. There is no point in that where making changes is ineffective or too late. It's always something we can explore.
Well, that's what I've always said, that your bioindividuality determines your nutritional needs.
You have said that. Did you?
I have said that. In fact, I just read it here.
Yes.
Moments ago. So I do understand what you're talking about.
Yes. So functional nutrition is looking at how all of our systems are created and how what we're doing on a food and eating and habit level impacts all of that. Very, so there's so much to dig into.
All right. Yeah, so there's a lot to think about when you eat.
It is. So if you're thinking about a dietitian and you think, well, they just do weight loss, or they're just going to tell me to eat more vegetables, or they just do, insert dietitian stereotype here, there's so much more that goes into how we eat, why we eat, when we eat, where we eat, and what we need.
And a lot of good advice you have for people.
I try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and if they want to get more,
yeah,
how can they find you?
Yeah, you can call up to the clinic and schedule an appointment with me here in Madison. You just call the front desk at 598-7551. You can go online to imunutrition.com. That's imunutrition.com, or Facebook at imunutrition. Or you guys here at KLQP can always find me.
And I know you like to speak to groups, because if we get done recording today, you're going to be speaking at the Kiwanis Club. And
that's right.
I know you've spoken at the study clubs and other places. So
yes,
if anybody wants
it.
You to talk, they can get a hold of you for that, too.
Anytime.
You're on the road.
That's right.
All right. Thank you, Ever.
Thank you.
See you again next week for another Taco Tuesday.
Sounds great.